Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The story of Jesus' birth that Pastor Paul read for us from the Gospel of Luke is so familiar that my guess is most of you have heard it so many times that you could probably, not memorize it, but you know pretty much what it's going to be each year. You've heard it. You know what it is. And, you know, I've been reflecting on this story now 37 years. And the question arises, well, after 37 years, what are you going to say that you haven't already said? And I've been asking that question of myself now for quite some number of years, as a matter of fact. And one thing that occurred to me this time was that, you know, in this story, we hear a lot about heaven. Yeah, heaven. And that's a subject that we don't talk about very much, except, you know, if you go to a memorial service, we might talk about heaven. People today oftentimes don't want to use the word heaven. They say, well, the dearly departed went to a better place. A better place. That's the word, that's the way we often express it nowadays. I'm not exactly sure why. Maybe people feel like the word heaven is out of date. I don't know. We don't think much about heaven, right? Heaven is the place where we go after we die, provided we meet the criteria. You know, pretty much every religious tradition, whether you're talking about Christianity or Islam or Hinduism or whatever, most religious traditions have the same basic idea. And that is that if you reflect the nature of God in the way you live your life, which is empathy and love for your neighbor and service to your community and making the world a better place, that's pretty much all that's required for this wonderful reward, heaven, eternal bliss. But it's not a subject that, you know, on a daily basis we think about very often. You know, we've got enough to worry about in this world without worrying about the next one, right? I mean, after all, day after day, we've got things we've got to worry about. We've got, depending on your stage of life, of course, you know, you've got jobs to worry about, children to worry about, relatives, this, that, the other. There's things to worry about. We've got enough to worry about now without thinking about heaven or going to a better place. So you might wonder, well, what's the relevance of talking about that in terms of my everyday life, right? Well, you know what? If you think about it in another way, this idea of going to a better place is really something that we think about not just when we're on the verge of death or when we lose a loved one. Going to a better place is something that we think about just about every day of our lives. And the reason I say that is because no matter what stage of life you're in, you've got hopes and dreams, right? Everybody's got ideas for the future, things that we're planning for. When you're a young person, you're thinking about a career maybe, getting through school, finding a better place, a great job, having a family, falling in love. Man, that's going to be a better place, right? Maybe when you're on the verge of retirement, you're thinking about where you're going to spend most of your time and how wonderful it's going to be not to have to worry about an alarm clock and a commute that's gotten so bad that we dread it. So we're all thinking about a better place all the time, our hopes and dreams. We all seek by nature, as human beings, we seek happiness, we seek peace, we seek contentment, we seek security. And we think we'll find these things in so many ways, depending on who you are and the choices you make in life, right? Some people think they'll get that by having a bigger bank account. But I want to tell you from firsthand experience, I've known people who were born into extreme wealth, whose lives were a complete disaster, filled with alcoholism, broken families. Money is not going to do it. And there's a lot of other things that we think. Maybe a better lifestyle, maybe another place to live, maybe. There's a lot of different things that we think will lead to that better place that we seek. I remember when I was about 6 years old, a Christmas we celebrated when I was growing up in the great metropolis of Minot, North Dakota. I knew exactly what I wanted that Christmas. My uncle, my mother's brother, was a historian, professor of history in Minneapolis, and I got interested in history early in life, especially the Civil War. So I wanted this Civil War set. It was Civil War figures that you could set up a model of different Civil War battles. You know, you had the blue soldiers and the gray soldiers. And then along with that, I wanted what used to be called Lincoln Logs. You remember those? Lincoln Logs, yeah. You could build log houses in frontier communities. I was looking forward. I thought, when I can open those presents, and I knew they got them for me, I knew it. When I can open those presents, I'm not going to be just in heaven. I am going to be in seventh heaven. But you know, in the Midwest, there's a certain routine that people of Norwegian extraction follow every Christmas Eve. And it was frustrating for me at a young age, you know. First, you got to get everything in order in the house. Then everybody gathers for the lutefisk dinner. Let me tell you, that's an experience. And then after that, my mother always said, well, we got to clean up before we open the presents. And that without the benefit of a dishwasher. So that took forever. And I'm waiting and I'm waiting. Finally, the time came to open these presents. And I tore them open and I played with those figures and those Lincoln Logs probably for a month. And then, slowly, I began to lose interest. And maybe after about 2 months, they all went back in the box and were stuck in the closet, and I have no idea where they are now. That better place that we're looking for doesn't always work out. Because it doesn't end up giving us what we think it will. Oh, we have plans and dreams. We think that once we get there, we're going to be happy. But it doesn't always work out. Same thing happened for me when I was a teenager. I was 15 years old, and I told my dad, I got my driver's license early. I said, I need a car. But the only car I could afford, some of you may remember, this goes back a few years, the only one I could afford was a used Rambler. And that thing burned more oil than it did gas. So wherever I drove, there was a cloud of smoke behind me. After a couple of months, I heard people saying, get a horse, so often, that I decided, no, this one isn't going to work out. I better get a better one. Then I fell in love with a muscle car, 442 Oldsmobile, 1965, rear wheels a mile wide, headers, this thing, man, I was really going to be happy when I drove this thing. And I finally was able to buy this thing, right? And I got inside it, and I drove it home, put it in the driveway, went inside, look at my new car. And my family came out and said, okay, start it up. I stuck the key in the ignition. Wouldn't start. Well, even after I got it fixed, you know, probably after 6 months driving that thing around, it was boring after a while. I didn't reach seventh heaven with that thing either. Then by the time I got to college, I started thinking about why it is the human beings have this tendency by nature to seek something better, to always be restless, to be striving for something new, something greater, something more secure, something that'll give us what we're looking for on a long-term basis. Why do we do that? And then when we reach so many of those goals, we end up bored, disappointed, or whatever. It just doesn't work out. Why is that anyway? So it seems to me that this indicates a couple of things about who we are as human beings. Number one, we are not born by nature feeling fulfilled and complete, whole. We strive for that. We look for it. In order to feel complete and whole and healthy and happy and joyful, we need to reach out and achieve goals, achieve something, or possess something, or create, you know, a style of life that's going to make us feel like we've finally reached the point where we can say, I have lived a life, a full life, a fulfilled life. The other thing about us human beings is that we live in a world where no matter what it is you seek, it's not going to last. Nothing ever does. This is a world where things change constantly. Our feelings change. The things we have change. Nothing is eternal. Nothing is forever. It's all temporary. That's just the way this world is. And so I got to thinking, this term, a better place, implies that there's something wrong with the place we're in. And maybe there's something about us, our hearts, that seeks after something that we have a blurred vision. You know, if I take off my glasses and I look, I can't make out anybody. Everything's blurry. We all seek happiness, but it's very elusive. It's very hard to find. It changes. It seems to be beyond our grasp. Our vision is blurry. We don't quite know what it is we need. And maybe that's what the Christmas story is all about. Maybe it's about not how God opened heaven's door for us so we could get to that better place we're looking for by living lives that are pleasing to God, meeting certain criteria, making sure that God is happy with us. Maybe the real story is that heaven came to us. Maybe the real story is that because we can't reach that elusive goal that our hearts seek constantly, restless and always looking for something better. Because we can't find what it is we need, maybe God came to us and revealed it to us. Maybe Jesus Christ didn't come down to bring us to heaven, but maybe he came down to bring heaven to us. Now, what could it possibly mean that Jesus Christ brought heaven to us? Well, think about the life that Jesus lived. Jesus was born in the lowliest of circumstances possibly. He identified not just with the human condition, not with just with each and every one of us. He identified with the lowliest of the lowly. The homeless, the poverty-stricken, those who didn't even have a place at the time of their birth except a smelly, dirty stall for animals. And yet, even though he assumed this mortal, vulnerable, suffering condition, nevertheless, he lived a life of perfect faith and spiritual union with God, whom he called his Father and our Father. And you can see the effect this had on the way he lived his life. When there was a storm that broke out that terrified everybody else, he simply said, "Where is your faith?" He fell asleep. When he encountered a group of contagious lepers that everybody else ran away from, he healed them. When they brought to him prostitutes and said, "She ought to be stoned," he said, "The one without sin can be the first one to cast a stone." The point is that Jesus showed us what it looks like to live a life that is in connection with and in relationship with that which is eternal, the only thing that is eternal, and that is the presence of God. With the presence of God, what we have is something that transcends the changeable nature of the world we live in. We have something that is permanent and secure and forever. We have a love from which nothing can separate us. We have security that can never end and therefore is filled with peace. And we have a transformed conscience. Our conscience no longer tells us, "You're not a worthy person." Our conscience tells us, "You're loved. You're a child of God. And nothing that happens in this world will change that. No matter what you go through, no matter what you lose, no matter what you suffer, nothing will change that. And the life that gives, which enables us to deal with life's challenges from a position of strength rather than weakness, so that we don't turn into victims whenever something bad happens. The life that breathes into our hearts and souls, it never ends. It's eternal. It overcame even death. And so, maybe the message of Christmas, what we celebrate today, is not so much the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago, but the possibility of his birth in our hearts today. without him, we end up going here and there and every other place, and we end up going astray, looking for what we need and not being able to find it. With him, we take hold of this divine gift, a person. A person who transcends the changeable world we live in, who is born in our hearts by the power of God's Spirit, the divine Spirit. And because we participate in his life, a wonderful exchange takes place. He takes on our sin, our mortality, our vulnerability, and even our death. Can you imagine a more humiliating way to die than publicly hanging on a cross? And yet he did that for our sake. He took on our weakness in order to give us his strength, his love, his joy, his peace. And so today, we celebrate in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Heaven's door was opened, and the name of heaven's door is Jesus Christ. Amen.